All right, if you can get your Bibles out tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Since March of 2020, somehow, some way, we've all been affected somehow by this COVID pandemic. There was a time when the circumstance was, have you had it? Have you not? Over time, it has transpired into school or society are you involved in where maybe mandates are being placed upon where you work. Yeah, I'm not turning on yet. This is intro to non-message, so you don't have to record this part. So what sector are you in, and has it become mandatory? Again, regardless of your view of whether you're in favor of getting the vaccine or not, or you have or haven't, that's not what I'm talking about. But I think I was talking to Brother Primer today, and it sounded like Harris just kind of made it, and Mrs. Jabisky asked if we would pray, and some of our guys work there. And just some decisions that may have to be made. And just the difficulty in that. If you're in the healthcare, say, that's old news. We already had to deal with that. Okay, well, we're into the next round. And so just pray for wisdom for one another. These are difficult decisions that require prayer. And again, I don't have all the answers, but if you want to sit down and just talk things through, I'd be more than willing to listen and just talk. Know that I'm, for whatever this is worth, I'm in your corner. And I want to help you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. In verse 33, it says, "Be not deceived." Telling me it's possible that I could be deceived. Is that not true? Right. Warning. Be not deceived. Therefore, personally, we have a view that's contrary to the Scripture, and the Lord sets us straight. He says, evil communications corrupt good manners. That means exactly what it says. For a Christian person that desires to do right by the things of God, warning, hey, you could be tricked into or lied to into thinking that as good as you endeavor to do, you surround yourself with the wrong group, there's a possibility that those communications could corrupt you. Can you turn me down just a little? Or a lot? That's the warning. We take this verse and we put it up on banners and we take it to our teenagers and say, listen, hey, you've been raised in a church that loves God. You've been protected from some things. Be careful of who you surround yourself with, because you get the wrong friend at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they'll take you from a good place and take you to the wrong place. True? True. Maybe we've experienced that. Maybe that's been part of your life. Maybe that's your testimony. I was doing right and I got caught up with the wrong crowd of people. I chose to befriend the people I should not have. And sure enough, evil communication corrupted good manners. And I've been trying to catch up ever since. All right. That's the negative side of that. There's a positive side to this, and we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 34. How many of you have heard that verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Sure. That's a promise of God, just to let you know. You say, no, it won't affect, you're being deceived, all right? I'm just warning you. If you think it doesn't apply to you, you've fulfilled that first part, be not deceived. But we come to Exodus 34. positive message tonight. We're going for it, Brother Mondo. We're trying something new. I'm trying to encourage you. And in verse 29, I shared a little bit of this with our staff. I Lord shows me things, and I send it out to the staff in our staff meetings and see how they respond. Talby's a little naysayer, but that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. See how I share what it is, and as I talk it through in our morning devotions, Lord gives me more as I think about these things throughout the week. So, Exodus 34 and verse 29, it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So Moses comes down, he's talking to Aaron, his brother. He spent some time up on the mountain. He's got the tablets in his hand, and he's unaware, not a lot of mirrors, I guess, on the top of Mount Sinai. Didn't know, didn't look in the reflecting pool, spent no time in the creek, didn't know that his face shone. Say, what does that mean? It had a glow about it. He didn't know it. Look at verse 30. Scares his brother. Say, this is just in time for Halloween. This is great. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. It scared them. I mean, throughout scriptures, we see good people scaring, well, other people. I mean, Christ walks up on the boat in the midst of the storm, and they were sore frightened, it says. Moses comes down with the tablets of stone, excited that he's got the law of God, and he's scaring everybody. Why? Because his face had shone. Say, what does that mean? What is the point here? The point is that you can't be around God and not have it rub off on you. Moses didn't come down and have to announce, listen, I've just spoken to the Lord, and God gave me some instruction. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to tell his testimony and define what a relationship with God is. It just shone on him. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that is no different for you. You get around the things of God, and you fellowship with the God of heaven, and you're not going to have to tell anybody. It's just going to show. Amen. Moses didn't realize the change. Say, why do you think that is? Just to keep him humble. You know, the most godly people I know don't know that they're godly. They don't know that they're an example of holiness to me. They think they're a train wreck on the way to, you know, and go. But every time I'm around them, their face did shone. Not that I'm afraid, but I want to be around it. You can't hide that stuff. Not even did he realize the change. But when we get around the things of God, when we fellowship truly with the presence of God, there's some things that will change in your life. You're going to talk different. Look at this. Exodus 35, verse 1. In Exodus, actually, 34, verse 35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him. And verse 1, the very first thing he does, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded. Hey, you spend time with God, you spend time, listen now, around God, you know what the first thing you're going to start doing? You're going to start talking different. All of a sudden, Moses comes down. He doesn't care about anything else. He says, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said to me. And all of a sudden, his speech is different. Why? Because he just spent time with God. Hey, Christian, when you spend time with the Lord, you know what? You're going to talk different. You're going to look different. You ought to. You will consider things differently. Moses wasn't concerned about, hey, where's this tribe and what's going on with that? No, he had a message. He had some things to relay because he had just spent time with the Lord. Ever get like in your morning Bible reading, as you're just spending time in the scriptures, just like a little nugget. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you'll understand nugget, like a little nugget. You know what I'm talking about, Ms. Freddie? All right. It's a little something to carry you through the day. And everyone you're talking to, everyone you're coming around, hey, can I share with you I just read today? Can I show you this verse? Can I show you what God talked to me about today? What happened? Your face did show. Can I ask you today? Do the people that come in contact with you know that you spent time around God? Say, well, I do every morning. When Moses did, there was a difference. And we've talked about it. There is a possibility that we can log or complete an act and duty and yet never fellowship with the God of heaven. You can't hide. Moses tried. He had to put a veil on. But you can't hide when you spend time with God. It affects every area of your life. It's kind of like that evil communication, corrupt good manners, but it's on the positive side. See, here's someone that is trying to do good and then spends time around God, and it just takes it and goes that much further with it. Can I encourage you to get a little closer tonight? Moses didn't realize it. Others will see it. Can I tell you, but they didn't want to. They were afraid. They wanted to cover it up. You know, righteousness is always a reproach to those that live in unrighteousness. You don't have to tell people that they're doing wrong. Just live right. I was talking to a young man today. Sitting down, and I just asked him, how you doing? All I asked him was how he was doing. And you know what he said? He said, oh, you're not going to be happy with me. Why? He was telling me things about his life that he had shame about. I didn't belittle him. I was trying to encourage him to do right. But when you're around righteousness, what does it do? Righteousness is a reproach to those that live in unrighteousness. Moses comes down and his face did shone, and everybody that saw that was afraid. Why? Because they didn't have the time with God like Moses did. Others will see it. Hey, Dad, Mom, you spend time with God, your kids will notice. Dad, Mom, you don't spend time with God, your kids will notice. There's this little store in Hamlin here, and they're open just a couple days a week. It's like a little food kitchen thing or whatever, and they sell stuff and got little trinkets. It's like a Goodwill, but it's not. I don't know the name of it. And I was in there with Joe a couple days ago or last week, and walk in, it was on Saturday, and they have a bowl of fruit there, and he's like, ooh, Dad, look at those grapes. I'm like, those are fake. What? Oh, yeah, look at that. That's what a bunch of Christians are doing. Yep. They're trying to take their life and just make it look real. But I'm here to tell you, you're not fooling anybody. Because when you're around God, you can't hide that. And when you're not, you can't hide it either. Your family will know. Those that you work with will know. Those that maybe at your school will know. The community will know. Everybody that saw Moses knew. Because when you're around the Lord, it affects every area. It's so easy to get close to God. Say, how so? We have no Mount Sinai. How am I going to get there? You know, the Bible tells me, look at James chapter 4. You want to be encouraged? Look at this verse. Say, Pastor, you said it was going to be encouraging tonight. I feel a little smoke to my heart. All right, well, still preaching, all right? James chapter 4 and verse 18. No, 4, hold on. 4:8. Thank you. I added a 1. Draw nigh to God, and what does He do? And He will draw nigh to you. I feel like every step I take, He takes about 100. Say, I want a fellowship with the God of heaven. Take one step toward Him. Get closer. Hey, if you're tired of living the game of Christianity, just take a step. Say, I want a fellowship. I want to be in the presence of God. Then get there. Go. It's just that easy. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. That means try and get close to God and He will actually get close to you. Cleanse your hands. Hey, what does it take? It takes some confession. Look at what he says. At the end it says, ye double-minded. It's kind of like that fake fruit. Stop trying to live both ways. When Moses got closer, he didn't realize the change. That's how God keeps us humble. But others saw it. They were afraid. It was a reproach to them. Imagine when you spend time with the Lord, how it'll affect your family, your workplace, your community. How do I do that? Well, we have a direct line of communication with God. The Word of God. It's direct. A direct line. I've been having to deal with the New York State a lot this year. Department of Health, Department of Education. There are no direct lines. It is a spider web of phone relay. Not with God. Say, I'd like that presence. I would like that fellowship. You have His direct words to you. Say, oh, how amazing would it have been to carry the Ten Commandments written by God? 10 Commandments? How about 66 books? In your hand. Imagine this thing was made of stone. Oh, man, I'm glad. I'm glad we got paper. And study it and read it and allow it to, as Hebrews says, to penetrate my heart. Helps me to get close. Matthew chapter number 6. Direct connection to the Lord is through reading, it's through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Matthew chapter 6. It's a simple thought tonight. You can't hide spending time with God. It will affect every area of your life. It'll affect your decision making. It'll affect what you hear. You know, I think it was Hudson. The other day we had some friends over, and you know, our house alone is busy and loud, Brother Sutliff. And then we add people and it gets more busy and loud. And I had to say something to Hudson. But I want to say it personally to him. So he called him over close to me. And I said something that just him and I could hear. You know what? When we get close to the Lord, not only does it affect our countenance, but we hear things that we wouldn't have heard before. We're touched by things that never would have touched us before. We have a sensitivity to the things of God more so than ever before. I encourage you to, Moses got alone with the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Hey, you take your thing and you spend time with God, and God says, I'm going to get glory and I'm going to show everybody. Yep. Hey, Moses, where were you? No one asked. Everybody knew. He had spent time with the God of heaven. If a poll was given and your friends and family were asked, the ones that live in your house, does that person spend time with God? What would they say? You can't hide it. Christianity isn't a game. I love board games. But Christianity is real. You can't hide spending time with the Lord. Let's all stand. Over the next 24 hours, please be in prayer for Sharon Rice. I know we have a long list, and there are important things on here. Pray for Mr. Kettenberg. A lot of things going on, but I feel like time-wise, these are some important requests, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you that you've made communication with you available, accessible. God, you are reachable, and the only reason we don't have fellowship with you is because we choose not to. Lord, I pray that our relationship with you would be one of real and depth. And God, it would affect every area of our life, that others may see your glory through us. Lord, I pray you watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, we need your wisdom, we need your strength, we need your truth. God, it's good to know that we can come to you as the author of truth. Lord, we need that right now. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.